train and mentors to support the community sector, and particularly to deal with issues of sustainability. And that's what the sector is really battling with, is actually what kind of a sustainability model that we need to develop collectively with almost everyone that is interested in the sector, so that the resources that we actually invest in the community radio station is actually they are sustainable, but also stations can really optimize on. Also, we operate with the assumption that the NDA regulation, that the funding request, the NDA Act for development and support of the sector, that is an approved budget and project implementation. And certainly that type of assumption is an internally controlled assumption, because with the Act as a framework which guides us the work that we're supposed to do, and as well as the budget and the project that we actually execute.
Thank you very much for the presentation. I think same procedure apply where we take comments, questions, input from members, and then we allow team to respond, led by the chairperson, Ms. Mugomo, and other members of the board, and the CEO, and the people on the delegation. Can I note 10 members so that we are able to manage our time? I see Honorable Mackenzie, Honorable Ali, Honorable Davis, Honorable Mugwana, Honorable Kekano, Honorable Mafulo, Honorable Odebi, Honorable Maseko. Oh, I hope you are not being disadvantaged for being just right next to me. Oh, Honorable Sedi, sorry, I didn't meet you. In that order, Honorable Members.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the presentation. Just some clarity to help me understand. In my local area, let me be parochial. In Midrand, in Johannesburg, the Midrand reporter does not go into Ivory Park, because obviously people living in Ivory Park, clearly they don't see them as probably in the top LSMs, and therefore relevant to their advertisers. Would you then assist somebody who wanted to start a community newspaper in Ivory Park for the people of Ivory Park and provide grant funding for that? Is that one of the primary purposes? Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. Mine relate to the Audit Bureau of Circulation. One of the problems you sit with, especially for community print and electronic media, is that they are unable to source advertising on a regular basis, because they do not get the necessary ABC rating. So what is the stand of MDDA? And I see that even in your report, you do speak to that point. What is the stand of the MDDA to try and make sure, and maybe to also agree with what Honorable Mackenzie has assisted, because buying power when it comes to media plays a critical role. But then what is the MDDA doing to make sure that they break that barrier? Because that barrier is important to contribute towards media diversity. Because it doesn't matter if you want to enhance the plurality of your media platforms, key to that is sustaining those. Now, if they do not have the necessary rating and you are still flaking that out as a challenge and not telling us what measures are being taken, then we run the risk of not enforcing media transformation in this country.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentation. You noted in the presentation that access to commercial advertising remains a stumbling block in the sector, but that access to government advertising is growing. The potential problem with this is that it could threaten the independence of community media and small commercial media because of the power of government to withdraw that advertising. And indeed, threats have been made in the past by one of your board members, I believe, when he was the government spokesperson, to withdraw that advertising. So my question to you is, what are you doing to help help community media and small community media stand on its own two feet when it comes to advertising and attracting advertising without relying on government advertising. Thank you.
Honourable
Kwan. Thanks, Chair. Just two comments and questions. According to the presentation, I picked it up that MDDA is saying they don't have the service centers in province. But you have activities which are said to be taking place in provinces, the approvals and everything else. Just the clarity there, whether it is not a good thing to try and have those services next closer to the people. That goes to the distribution and allocation of projects in the country, because what it then means is that you'll have one point where distribution is done. I'm sure that the inputs of provinces might be quite important if I give it up properly. On page one, there's a list there, but there are others who are not in the list. Just to give a further clarity that this is the list, and this list represents the following, and those who are not in this list is because of the following reasons, so that we are able to get it quite clear. Of course, we appreciate your work. Another good story to tell on your audit outcomes. Even if we can try to contest it, but it's now on paper. The last one, it's on paper. The last one, I've seen you are saying a proposed structure from January 2014. Just want to get clarity. What do you mean? Because we're now in July, and this is said to be a proposed structure. Do you have people? Because it doesn't have names. Only the CEO, It doesn't say CEO X or C. Just to get the clarity as to how do you conceptualize it and where is it now as we speak. Thanks.
Thank you. Honorable Kitano.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. I'm partially covered by Comrade Nguan, Honorable Nguan. Yeah, thanks very much, members from MDA. Good story to tell. Yeah, members of the community from MDA. Yes, MDDA. For clean audit. You know, I'm always concerned about HR matters. Why? Because of, for sure you remember that during SONA, the president told us exactly what should be implemented. And in the top list, is to eradicate unemployment. Number two, good, is to fight corruption. And clean audit, it means that one already falls out. Then let us check in terms of monitoring tools to the monies that you gave community and commercial projects. In future, I will request more details, or sometimes when we will meet again, a more detailed report about this monitoring tool, because it's not speaking to the specifics, it's just general. Then you've got a monitoring tool, but we don't know how and what is happening. Maybe the is another strategy of the usage of consultants somehow, because now there are projects. So we need a detailed report. And again, even though I'm partially covered by this one in terms of HR matters, I don't hear you thoroughly whether you are a COO or a CEO. And if you are a COO, where is CEO? So maybe if you can clarify us there of what is happening and the balances, gender, female and racial balances. We need to understand that because are the priority of the leading party that is leading this government. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm covered my colleagues to say that if you don't have you don't have offices in the province, how are you going to reach the people, especially who are living in rural areas? That means they are already disadvantaged. Do you have any tool in place to make sure that those people are accommodated? And I was just interested on a present structure just to check your agenda, but unfortunately, I don't see anything. Thank you.
Chairperson, let me also echo the same sentiments of a good solicitor and to add on the solicitor's fact that more than 2,000 individuals were trained in skills and about 250 bursaries awarded in data studies. But it's important to know if you do make a follow-up or monitor their placement, what they do after completing their studies, because there are situations whereby people will be trained and they only know to have a placement. And 3, 4, 5 years down the line, they have lasted, they no longer have the skill because it was never utilized. So it's important for us to make a follow-up and also to say there was a fruitful expenditure if they are placed. And also, again, the same sentiment on the breakdown of gender and race, and also the areas where they come from, so that we are able to know our transformation and make sure that we don't have a certain group, you know, benefiting at the expense of others, just that they have proportional representation of beneficiaries.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you to your presentation. Just to make a follow-up on I'm covered by my other colleagues, but just to make a follow-up from what Honourable Associate has just said, on granting of bursaries, because mine was on why not get a university grant, but especially those that have granted bursaries to come and work within the institution that is under yourself as a payback mechanism, and also to acquire skills and experience, so that then after that they can be marketable for broader space. On the 5 board members, have you worked out the roadmap and plans to ensure a smooth transition and ushering in of new board members? If you can share that with us. And yeah, we linked to that one of the university graduates. One thing that believes that you are one of the areas that could help in massive job creation opportunities. So if you could share with us how many to envisage and by when. And on the issues of the consultants, I just want to find out what percentage of the budget goes to consultancy fees. Yeah, and the other one was on the structure itself as to it is just positioned without warm bodies. And if we had to put warm bodies, how many here are women, how many are young people, how many are people with disabilities, and also the racial groups on that structure. I will end there, Chair. And also, yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Indeed a good story to tell. As you talk to the gender issue, can you also talk to the 2% target of people with disabilities? Are we there? If we are not there, what is it that we are doing to achieve that? Secondly, the issue of ensuring that community radio stations and print media in the main, those that you initiate and those that you are supporting, do not end up being financially sustainable. What is it that we are doing? Because what we have seen in the past is that most of them have been solely relying on government for advice, just to sustain themselves. Are we doing something in this regard? And lastly, the five board members whose term of office has lapsed, why five? And then what is the situation with the rest of the members? Thank you.
I'm going to allow Ole Morupa
Not much, actually, for now, but let's just agree that most of the issues that have been raised, they are more programmatic and they do need an elaboration which we may not do at this point in time. Surely in terms of the follow-up time, we will have to engage thoroughly, particularly on those issues that really can take the country forward. You did really outline some of the obstacles that we do have the interest of really looking into them quite in detail. There's a matter that you have raised of the audit outcome, which the members are also congratulating you. It's good to retain such a record. What one hoped is that it's retained permanently, you know, but I would be shocked that there was this certain audit. Because, of course, we relate to 2012, 2013, you still have the audit outcomes that will be envisaged 2014 around, I'm sure it's back at September when the auditor general finalized. I really hope you retain the record, because we're going to hold you up on that clean audit, so it should be permanent, because you don't even know. You don't know what is, you know, any other kind of audit. So we'll be watching. The other last thing is that just to find out the accountability of board members, particularly in the community radio stations, did you find a way? Do you now have a way of making them? Do you have a monitoring mechanism of finding out about their accountability? I think it's one thing, that one, if I can get a clear written answer.
Thank you very much, Coach Chairperson. I don't have much. I think I wanted to allow you to insight with it. Maybe just on what Honorable Chairperson has just said, in terms of community radio stations, and their board, but again, if we are able to, have we done a research in terms of their sustainability, if they function, so that analysis is across the board, if they exist, but do they function effectively? We do an understanding of whether they're doing what they're supposed to be. Whether they live according to the standards of how boards should function, and what support do you provide for them in order for them to be able to survive. Maybe let's give you to respond in no particular order. You can decide and respond to the issue.
Thank you very much, Chair. I will share the questions with my colleagues. I'll start with the question on the leadership of the agency and linked with the current proposed structure. We have, and perhaps I must apologize that I should have acknowledged the service and expressed our gratitude as a board to Mr. Lunko Mtinde, who served the organization for a period of 8 years, and his contract came to an end at the end of June.
now we are in the process of recruiting. We currently have the CFO who's acting as a CEO of the organization. So in terms of the leadership, that's where we are, and the acting process that we've defined, that's coming for a period of 3 months, and we'll be within the process of 3 months, we'll be recruiting a new CEO. And in terms of the structure, I think it was purely an omission one to say it's a proposed structure. It's a structure that has been adopted by the board, and it's also an omission that has been put in. Coming to the issue of a media and reporter, yes, if the individual can put together and comply with our criteria of project application, because we do fund community print media. If you go in one of the slides, most of 25% of our funding goes towards the media, community print media. In terms of the sustainability and the impact, one of the projects that will be engaging perhaps in the next 2 to 3 months is to really undertake a research on impact study to understand the type of impact we've had in the sector in the last 10 years. And fundamentally, the point the members are raising on actually how sustainable we are, how much are we able to follow through on the funding that we've given, and what are the new dynamics that are developing within the sector that we may not be familiar with, and how that study will then use, how we'll use that study for us to be able to craft and look at what form of sustainable models that we need to develop to for the sector. Not, of course, for us as individuals, as an entity, because we have our pool of resources are very limited, but also it's a model that we're hoping we'll be able to share with the rest of the sector, so that we look at what other options that we could explore. And then lastly, the last point before I allow the colleagues, is just to say on the area of bursaries, part of one of our mandates is to really contribute on the human capital investment, human capital development of the sector, which is in essence what is that we do, we train, and as I was saying earlier, is that we are actually breaking ground, because a lot of young people use computer registration as an entry point in terms of accessing the labour market. So we train what we call community journalists who are already active in the computer registration on various skills, so that they can actually effectively manage the station, whether it's from governance issues, it's from business administration, and it's from marketing. We've developed various toolkits to ensure that the stations are actually effectively managed. And part of the other training we provide is on content development, because we see that it's critical into holding the station together, but also ensure that it is stability. I'll let my other colleagues to deal with issues of equity plan and Obano on other specific areas and the CFO.
Thank you, Chair. Honourable members, in terms of the gender split on our staff complement, we're sitting at 9 male staff members and 14 female staff members. We are cognizant of our employment equity plan, and all our recruitment drives are informed by the plan. I think it's an omission that in our plan that has been projected, that we have not projected our plan in terms of disabled people. However, our plan, we've allocated to have 2 disabled people by the end of this employment equity plan, which is 2015 and 2016. There was also a question about the age groups in terms of our staff. The MDDA is seeing a lot of staff, or rather young people, coming into the organization between the ages of 25 and 30. Bulk, or rather 50% of our staff complement at this point in time is between the ages of 25 and 30. We also have a few staff members in the Generation X, which is between 30 and 45, and a few staff members who are between the ages of 45 and upwards. There was also a question about the employment equity plan and whether we are making progress in terms of the racial demographics. We have made significant progress in the financial year 2013 and 2014. At a professional, qualified and experienced specialist level, we have employed a colored male in one of our positions, and we also have employed a white female in one of our positions at that level. As I've mentioned before, that our recruitment efforts are really driven by the equity plan, where in instances where we have not received sufficient applications from different demographics, we've gone as far as advertising our positions at universities. In the past, we've advertised at the Johannesburg University. We've also advertised at the Pretoria University. We've also had an opportunity to advertise our positions at different professional bodies. And therefore, these efforts are yielding results, and we do hope that by the end of this plan, we would have moved significantly in terms of meeting our targets. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, just to deal with the last few questions, the first one being around the accountability of board members at the legislation level. This has been a collaborative effort between ourselves and the regulator. We meet from time to time with our colleagues from ICASA to look at some of these radio stations that come through, because most of it, the issues around the accountability of board members, whether because most of their founding constitution does oblige them to hold annual general meetings for them to go back into communities to account. So what the regulator often does is put that as part of their license conditions. We also put that as part of our funding conditions, that must actually be something that happens. We've realized over the years that many of our communities, either due to lack of understanding and clarity of what needs to happen, so we've supported that process. As a result, we've developed even a corporate governance toolkit that we actually use to them, that guides them in terms of what it is that they need to do. Because it's one of those things that are quite important. Because we realize that if there are problems in corporate governance, it tends to permeate throughout the entire organization. So you then see that stations are not then complying on a number of other issues, including one of them, we probably are the single entity that enforces issues around their tax clearance compliance. We would not grant them funding unless they are a compliant entity. So those are the kind of mechanisms that we are putting in place to ensure that those things are. So we've realized that putting those kind of tools, it's quite important. We are also doing work with the Department of Communications around the process of community mapping to get them to understand what are the dynamics of their communities. That will begin to help to strengthen issues of accountability at the station's level. To move on to another question very quickly around the issue of ABC certification. It is a matter that we've also highlighted in the print transformation research report that we launched on the 3rd of May this year, where it looks at that issue that it is to a large degree an artificial barrier for many of the small enterprises, that the advertising industry requires them to actually have access to these ABC certification. And the challenge is that the requirement for an ABC often than not many of our projects are not able to meet that. So there has been an engagement and conversation with the industry bodies to a point where we've then also developed what we call a grassroots certificate, which begins to lower down certain requirements, because we understand that they need to grow to a particular point where they're able to access it. We've also worked very closely with the GCIS from the media buying perspective, which GCIS media buying is extremely biased towards community media. GCIS has taken a very firm position that no communication strategy of government will be approved unless there is community media in the mix. And we have seen that it has come through the system. If you even do a very snap survey of many of community media, they will tell you almost 67% of their advertising revenue is generated from government. And we understand that relationship is an arm's length relationship. GCIS does put advertising into the community radio stations, and they have editorial independence. GCIS does, at no point GCIS ever dictated any content to these stations. So we have seen this relationship where government entities working together to ensure that we foster development. Because we have to realize, honourable members, that many of our projects exist in poverty nodes. There could never be any commercial survival for a station that is in Springbok in Ogi. There's nothing that's actually happening there. their only source of reliance is NFM, which is Radio Namakwa, that also broadcasts in Naama languages and so on. So we've got to continue to support those particular projects. As I said, 67% of the revenue comes from government, whether government entities, whether state-owned entities, whether municipalities, and so on and so on. It's an important source of survival, because we don't see in ShopRite Checkers seeing them as consumers, so therefore they're biasing us away from those people. We've seen that. In terms of our province, the last point on the rumors around our provincial presence, we work quite closely with GCIS, in particular, GCIS has got provincial presence. So in terms of our information, how to access MDDA funding, what we usually do together with the GCIS, every time there's a State of the Nation address, post-State of the Nation, we go through provincial consultation with community media for them to begin to understand what government is intending to do. We do that throughout the country with provincial GCIS offices. So that has been something that has worked. And we are seeing that the uptake of the State of the Nation address, as well as some of the budget speeches and some of the provincial state of their nation, provincial addresses, community stations are taking that content, and it's quite assisting. I think that's the last question, Chair. Maybe my the process of the 5 board members' term of office that's coming to an end in December.
And on the question in relation to consulting, the purpose. The percentage there in relation to our operational budget is 2%.
Thank you, Chair. The challenge mentioned on page 23 of the presentation, quite in PDM, has indicated that they are not going to commit in renewing the contribution until a policy review on media development is completed. I think it's a matter that we need to seriously consider, and this house must be able to assist us in moving forward. I mean, having been in existence for over a decade, I think there is a need now to accelerate access, as members have said, particularly to the poor and the marginalized. I think it's time now we review the extent of, to which the MDDA is fulfilled. That's the opportune moment that we do that now. To join the colleagues, I think the MDDA needs to be commended for the work that they have achieved thus far to contribute towards the development and transformation of small media. But one field, there are key issues that we need to consider. And number one, you look at the role of the executive and the responsible department. I think when this MDD Act was formulated, certain elements of critical good governance may have been left open for interpretation. I'll cite an example. The role of the minister in the MDD Act is only limited to appointment and remuneration of board members, as well as the regulations. And then furthermore, the Act does not articulate the role of the responsible department in terms of the Public Finance Management Act and how the agency is supposed to account for the monies appropriated to it by Parliament through the department. Also, the role of the accounting authority being the board and the CEO of MDDA. I think the functions of the board are not adequately articulated in the Act to address, amongst others, the following: the strategy and policy formulation, including the funding model, also the appointment of the CEO, as well as delegation of functions. That also includes adherence to principles of good governance and stakeholder management. In particular, to check the funding model for the MDDA, it remains a challenge, given its mandate and in line with the provision of Section 15 and 21 of the Act itself. Regarding the agency's source of income. And then on governance matters also, the current provision for the MDDA to be independent is not clarified, leaving room for different interpretation. As a result, the minister and the responsible department and shareholder may have no recourse in instances where disputes arise relating to the MDDA mandate and the way it is governed. Even the current situation where a service level agreement is in place, the accountability arrangement leaves much to be desired. But I think these are the issues that, because of the limited time, we need to look at moving forward so that we address all those issues. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Minister. I think, indeed, there is a need for us to constantly and continuously engage with the entities, more or less because one of the things that we're going to have to do is to assess the intent, both on community print and independent, or what you call private print media, to check the impact, how they're going to get in the distribution level, how working. So that Co-chairperson, we would have to come back to and deal with. I know that we don't have much time before I get myself as well where we into trouble. We are going to break for lunch, and I think the committee secretary will explain how we're going to do. There are arrangements that they have made. We'll break for lunch, and then immediately after lunch, my co-chairperson will proceed in chairing the meeting. We're just going to appeal for us to keep time and be in time back so that we are able to have sufficient time to engage the last two entities that we are seeing today. We are coming back at 2 o'clock. I know I've taken 10 minutes from your lunch time, just a little bit of it.
Good afternoon, members and our guests. The lunch will be served outside for all of us, and the members will have a sit-down lunch in the dining hall.
The meeting is adjourned until 2 o'clock.
On the other side. Oh, this one.
Thank you. Okay, ka bana re ke tsholo wena re ro batla
lo tshiwa matebela ka lwana.
Oh, there was one. Okay, where's my name? Okay, this is a new list.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because when I was in first, I've signed another list.
No, this one is Parliament.
Oh. Oh. No, yeah. Oh, yeah. We are right.
She's signing the office.
Yeah, right. I'm signing the other one.